Thank you, Ray. Yeah, it's a privilege to be here. And I want to thank the leadership for one small thing, and that is saying my name right. You don't know how many times I introduce myself to people, and I would say my name is CY. And you know what the next question would be? How do you spell that? And I say, yeah, my name is CY. And at the back of my mind, I was kind of thinking, which letter of the English alphabet do you not know? And I would explain to them that, I go by initials. And so I thought I've got that. The thing is, people have an autocorrect in their minds. So after 5 minutes, they would come up to me, and they would say, hey, how are you doing, YC? How are you doing, CJ? How are you doing, JC? And I would go like, I like JC, I love him, he's my friend, he's my Lord, he's my Savior, but I can never be him. Sometimes I would get so frustrated, and I would say, you really want to spell my name? Okay, I'll do that for you. S-E-E-W-H-Y. So now you see why I'm called CY. I've got a brother, his name is C-what. I've got a sister, her name is C-how. They actually believe it. I work for an organization that also goes by... I need the slides, please. I work for an organization that also goes by abbreviation, and it's OMF. And a lot of people... Okay. So the slide is ahead of me. Okay. I'm going back. Anyways, I'll let it just stay there. Okay, technical problems, it happens, I'm not surprised. I also work for an organization that goes by abbreviations, and it's OMF. And the leaders are very, carefully introduced OMF to all of you. But for those of you who have never heard of OMF, some of you might be thinking, so what does that stand for? Okay, and some people would say, could it be the Old Men's Fellowship? Well, perhaps that's why I'm part of it. But I don't know what Leona is doing there then. Leona is my colleague. If you can stand up just so, people can see you. Yeah. She's our Ontario Regional Ministry Coordinator, and she's got a huge passion to help churches develop a prayer ministry, especially prayer ministry with a missions element in it. So if you guys are interested, please talk to her after the service, and she'll be able to share some ideas with you. But no, we're not quite the Old Men's Fellowship. We're actually the Overseas Missionary Fellowship. But we are quite old as an agency. 150 years old, to be exact. Old enough for you yet? Well, it all started in 1832. A couple was expecting their first kid. This is before the time of ultrasound scanning. And so they said to themselves, if it turned out to be a boy, we would dedicate him and we would groom him up to be a missionary to China. Baby came out and it was a boy. Dedicate him, they did. But for the first 17 years of his life, he became anything but what the parents dedicated him to be. He was straying further and further and further away from the Lord. Until one day, he walked into his father's studio and he stumbled upon a gospel tract. That tract changed his life. And he became a born-again Christian that moment. It happened when his mom was far, far away. 2 weeks after The mom came home. And the boy told the mom, "You know what happened? I was in dad's studio, and I came upon this gospel tract, and I'm now a born-again Christian." If you were the mom, and you've been praying for 17 long years that your son would come to know Christ as his Lord and Savior, what would you do? Hallelujah! You would go, you know, praising and dancing across the room, right? Yeah, it's finally happening! You know what she did? Yeah, what's to it? I knew it all along. Get lost. No, she didn't say that. As it happened, when she was away from home, visiting a relative, all of a sudden, she felt a burden upon her heart to pray for her son. And so she locked herself into a room, and she refused to leave the room until there was a sense of peace upon her after her prayer. And the moment she left the room, she knew the Lord would come through to her son. And that's why she wasn't surprised at all. Half a year after, Hudson Taylor himself made a decision to go to China as a missionary. Now, he wasn't the first one there. Before him, there was Robert Morrison, and that was 50 years before him. But during 50 years of Robert Morrison's ministry in China, he saw a handful of people come to the Lord. Not his fault, because things were quite difficult at the time. And not a lot of foreign missionaries were allowed into the country to begin with. But something happened that changed. And it's sadly the Opium War. It wasn't a good thing, but in the Lord's hand, the king's heart is a stream of water, and he channels toward all who please him. Through that sad part of the history, God opened up the ports of China, and many, many Westerners were allowed in to do trading. Some missionaries also went. Also within mainland China at the time, there were the Taipings. Now, the Taipings actually translates to the heavenly kingdom of great peace. They claim to be Christians. And so when news of that reached the West, people were thinking, wow, this is another Constantine. He's going to change the whole kingdom of China into a Christian one. Wow, let's send them our missionaries. Hudson Taylor, this boy, he was one of those who fell for that. A missions agency actually talked him into leaving his medical studies halfway through. And so he sailed to China as a missionary. He was on board the Dumfries, which is a sailboat. How do sailboats move? Wind, right? And without wind, it just drifts. And one time, there was no wind. And so guess what happened? The sailboat was drifting towards the shore of New Guinea. And that was the 1800s. They still had cannibals on that island. And so the captain was saying, "We're done. Will be made dinner very soon." Well, praise the Lord, it didn't happen. And Hudson Taylor reached China. At the age of 21, 10 months old. He wasn't prepared for the Civil War right at his doorstep. "I think I'm going to need help with the flipping of the slides, because this thing, for some reason, is not working. Unless I'm not pressing it right." Okay, so next slide, please. And so reached China at a very young age. One time he was on his balcony and he saw a bombshell exploding right before his eyes. He also came to find out that the Taipings were anything but Christian. If they did embrace Christianity, it was just nominally on the part of the leaders, and that only from political motives. Hudson Taylor said, of the spirit of Christianity, they knew little and manifested none. Taylor found himself duped to go to China. And he was down and distraught. His eyes were inflamed. He suffered headaches. He was simply chilled to the bones in the bitter cold climate. Things got so bad that he was put into a settlement camp along with other Westerners. Some of them were missionaries, but they had nothing better to do than to gossip around. And they were throwing cynical comments at Hudson Taylor. They were saying, come on, what are you doing here? Go home. You haven't even finished your medical studies. You're not even ordained. What are you doing here? That was the kind of thing that he had to deal with day in and day out at the time. Around that time, he had one experience. He had an opportunity to preach to a Chinese audience. Halfway through his sermon, he noticed this one Chinese guy who was looking at him, nodding his head every now and then. And he was thinking, wow, God must be speaking to this guy. And so after his sermon, he walked up to that guy and he said, yeah, God must be speaking to you. How can I help you today? Maybe you want to come to a decision? The guy was still looking at him, still going like this. And then after a while, the guy finally spoke up. And he said, what's with this jacket that you're wearing here? There's nothing here. Don't you feel cold? And what are these buttons doing here? They're not serving any purposes at all. And what about this tie that you're wearing? I mean, we're not that bad. Are you ready to hang yourself anytime? As it turned out, this is when the tailor met A. Taylor, T-A-I-L-O-R. Through his professional eyes, he was trying to make sense of all these Western clothes. Hudson Taylor learned one thing very important that day. He came to find out that he is the biggest obstacle between God and the people that is ministering to. And so from then on, he would try to be dressed like the Chinese. Now, this is the 1800s, the Manchu time. Okay? Yeah. In those days, even guys would be wearing a pigtail. Guys, have you ever worn a pigtail? No? Okay. Now, in order for you to show yourself to be someone civilized, someone educated, someone genteel, you're supposed to make your pigtail shine, too. How do you do that? Put lark on. Well, imagine putting butter on your pigtail and walking around in the 40-some degree hot of China. Not fun at all. And because of that, the Westerners looked down on him. And they were saying, come on, we are from the West. We are civilized people. How come you're stooping down to their level? You're dressed like them. And he attracted a lot of criticism because of that. Today, it's a well-known principle in the world of missions. It's called contextualization. You wear what the local people wear. You eat what the local people eat. But back in those days, they just didn't know it. But in spite of all the setbacks, he held on. So flip the next slide, please, to 1857. Things got tougher and tougher, and at the end, Hudson Taylor had to make a tough decision, which was to leave the missions that he belonged to, the Chinese Evangelization Society. Good thing was, during those years, he met his first love, also became his first wife, Maria, and together they were doing ministry in China, but their health took a toll from the poor living condition in China at the time. It got so bad that they knew their only hope for survival was to go back to England. Next slide. And so they went back to England. They went there. They were back there, but their hearts were still in China. One day, Hudson Taylor was walking on the sand of Brighton Beach. His heart was heavy with the burden that the Lord has laid in his heart. He was especially burdened with the people in China inland. At the time, there were a lot of missionary activities along the shore. Those were the easier places. They've got a good Western community there, so they can still eat Western food. But inland, those were the toughest places. And that's where missionaries did not want to go. If anything had happened in the inland, they would have been left to fend for themselves. And you know, what's the toughest thing in China inland? 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you want to grab a Tim Horton or Second Cup or Starbucks? No such luck. And for those of you who are coffee drinkers, you know how tough that can be. But at the back of his mind, Hudson Taylor was counting every hour of the day and night. 1,000 Chinese would be passing into a Christless eternity. And his heart broke because of that. He was also thinking, I'm the only one who's feeling that burden. And China inland is so big with so many people. How can I do it all by myself? It was at Brighton Beach that a truth dawned on him. He will not be doing it all by himself. All God wanted of him was to step up, and the Lord will bless it. The Lord will go with him. And he was encouraged by that. And so later, he went to the church, went back to his church, and he wrote on his Bible, the next line, prayed for 24 willing, skillful laborers at Brighton. June 25th, 1865. 2 days after, he set up a bank account in the name of China Inland Mission, which later became Overseas Missionary Fellowship and OMF today. Next slide, 1866. He had enough people and enough funds. And so they set sail for China on board the Lammermuir. Guess how long it took them to reach China? You leave on a red-eye flight, you arrive there the next morning. No such luck. It took them 4 months. In the meantime, they were hit by 2 typhoons, Well, for those of you who didn't know, typhoons are like hurricanes here. Okay? Yeah. They almost lost their lives. But that wasn't the worst thing. Within the Lammermuir party, within the people who went to China, there was a bad split. So Hudson Taylor had a lot of infighting to deal with. When they finally arrived in China, the English-speaking media in China weren't being nice to them. They were saying, why do not their people keep them home in an asylum where they would be harmless to themselves and the community? That's the media reaction. By the Lord's grace, they held on. Ministry took off the ground. Next slide. But something happened around that time in a place called Yangchau. And for those of you who are into Chinese food, you've probably heard of the Yangchau fried rice, which is a famous dish. But it has nothing to do with that Yangchau at all. They established a missions compound there. But within China at the time, there was a lot of anti-Western feeling because of the war and the way some of the Western powers were dominating China at the time. And so one time, a riot broke out. And they were targeting all the Westerners in Yangchau. Hudson Taylor was running with one of his best friends for help. But while they were away, the mob came and it set the whole place on fire. Maria was there and she had to jump to safety from the second floor. She never really got better from that. 2 years after, they made a bold decision. They moved back to Yangchau, where they almost lost their lives. And because of that, people's hearts were touched, and some of them came to the Lord. But their health continued to deteriorate, and Maria finally passed away with TB. Along with her, a newborn by the name of Noel. By now, four of the children were in heaven. And a fifth would pass away as well. Taylor himself had a breakdown. But even from his bed, he was doing missions business. Later, he met his second wife, Jenny. And they married, and by the Lord's grace, ministry went on. Next slide, and it should say 1875 to 1885. Again, ministry went forward, and they started calling for more people. Keep track of these numbers. When it started, Hudson Taylor was calling for 24 people, and then he called 18 more. And then he called 70 more, and then he called 100 more. Okay, so what you're looking at here is not a bill. It's the next slide, 1885 to 1895. So they called 100 missionaries, and then it came time to call more missionaries again. Now guess how many missionaries they'll be calling this time? Just a wild guess. Next slide, please. How many missionaries? You were keeping track of the numbers, right? 24, 18, 70, 100. How many? 200? 300? That would be quite bold, right? They decided to call 1,000 missionaries. Whoo! From 100 to 1,000! Wow! What happened? It's got something to do with a place that we are very familiar with, Canada. The year was 1888. D.L. Moody, you've heard of that name? He got Hudson Taylor here in North America to speak in a student conference. It's something like a banner. So the two leaders met in North America, and D.L. Moody challenged Hudson Taylor to set up a branch in North America. When Hudson Taylor heard of that, he said, I've never thought of that, but I'll think about that now. And that's the start of China Inland Mission North America, which later became China Inland Mission Canada, and then China Inland Mission U.S. And if you go to Niagara on the lake now, you'll see this plaque right next to a public washroom, unfortunately. Okay, the plaque was set up in 1988 to remember the fact that 100 years ago, the two leaders met, and they started China Inland Mission North America there. And that's the reason why they were bold enough to call 1,000 people, because now they've got a broader base to work with. Next slide, and it should say 1895 to 1905. Again, ministry went forward, but out of nowhere, a riot broke out again. It's like the Yang Chao riot, only that this time, it's no longer on a local level, but instead, it's on a national scale. Westerners all over China were targeted again. There was rampant killing. The Chinese at the time, they couldn't tell between the good guys and the bad guys. And they were thinking, all the Western people, they're here to take advantage of us. We have to kill them all. At the end of the day, 189 missionaries were killed, along with 2,000 local believers. China Inland Mission suffered the most. We lost 58 missionaries, along with them, 21 children, killed brutally. It was an alliance of 8 nations that finally charged into Beijing to settle the whole thing. And when the dust finally settled, the Western powers were looking to the Chinese government for an astronomical amount of money in terms of compensation. From a Western mindset, it's just the right thing to do. The idea was to return some of the money to the missions who have lost lives and property as compensation. China Inland Mission, under the leadership of Hudson Taylor, said something that wowed the Western world at the time. They said, "We are not going to take a penny because we are here to make friends with the Chinese, and blackmailing them like that, there's just no way to do it." And because of that, China Inland Mission has won a lot of respect. As history unfolded, a lot of missionaries, a lot of missions agencies were kicked out of China. And China Inland Mission still had some room to work among the Chinese because of that. 1905, Hudson Taylor made his last trip to China, and he passed away when he was preparing to speak the next day. And at this point in time, I want to backtrack his life with you a little. Think about it. When you first went to China, you were duped into thinking that. You were duped into thinking that the Taipings were Christians. When you arrived, you came to find out that they're just a whole bunch of fakes. On your way there, you were dealing with a lot of infighting. People who were closest to you in ministry, they became your worst antagonist. You lost your first wife, You lost your children. And you lost people who were closest to you in ministries. Yangchao Riot. And then the Boxers Rebellion in 1900. If you were Hudson Taylor, what would you say? How would you have reacted to all of that? And that takes me back to the prophet Isaiah. The next slide. The prophet Isaiah heard the Lord. And he said, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" That's what the Lord said. And the prophet Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." Bold, eh? Next slide. And the Lord said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Next slide. And then I said, "For how long, Lord?" I hope you're catching the conversation there. God was saying, "Isaiah, go." But you know what? These people, they're not going to listen to you. And then Isaiah went, "Are you kidding? You're sending me to do something that will not bear any fruit at all? You're saying that it's only going to last for a little while, right?" And that's why Isaiah asked, "For how long, Lord?" Here comes God's reply. "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitants, until the houses are left deserted, and the tables ruined, and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away, and the land is utterly forsaken. Verse 13, and though a tent remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seat will be the stump in the land." And that's the Lord's reply. "For all that you do, for all the sacrifices that you're going to make, no one will listen to you. You will not see the fruits of your labor." Huh? Why didn't you tell me that earlier? Why are you telling me that now? And I've accepted a job offer without seeing the job specification. How would you have responded if you were Isaiah? I'll tell you how I would have responded. Next slide. This is what I would have said. YOLO! With a hashtag. You know what YOLO means? Next slide. You only live once. And every time you see that word on the internet, you see pictures of fancy food. Japanese sushi wrapped with gold leaf. 5-star, 6-star, 7-star hotel. You get the idea. You only live once. Splurge on yourself. You deserve it. You're entitled to it. If I were Isaiah, if I were Hudson Taylor, I would have said, YOLO! Go find someone else. I'm not here. Don't send me. I only live life once. And I'm not going to waste it on things that they're not going to bear any fruit at all. I would have said that. But praise the Lord, Isaiah did not chicken out. Hudson Taylor did not chicken out. And the reason is exactly because they also believe in YOLO. They also believe that you only live life once. And because of that, there is no time, no energy, no effort to be wasted on things that just come and go. That sushi wrapped in gold leaf. What's that going to do? You swallow thousands of dollars into your mouth. What next? it comes out. Sorry, Sunday morning. Shouldn't have said that. It's exactly because they know everybody only lives once that they are not ready to back out. Praise the Lord. Because of people like that, the world has never been the same again. Hudson Taylor has always been quoted as saying this. If I had £1,000, China would have it. If I had 1,000 lives, China would have them. And a lot of times it would stop right there. And we would say, Hudson Taylor really loves China. I'm an ethnic Chinese. Let me tell you this. There is nothing lovable about China or Chinese at all. You go to mainland China these days, you don't even know what you're eating. Some of the food might be fake. You don't know what kind of oil they use in their cooking. Chinese people are no more lovable than the rest of the humankind. We are just as steeped in sin. We are just as warped in our thinking, in our behavior. You know what kept Hudson Taylor in China? You know what he went on to say after this? No, not China, but Christ. That's what kept him in China. In spite of all the things that were stacked up against him. It's not because of China. It's because of Christ. I have no time to share more about the development of China Inland Mission, the many things that we had to suffer through in history, the wars that we have seen, the people that have died in the cause. Suffice it to say that 150 years after, we're still standing as a mission. And now we have ministries in East Asia, in China, and also outside of China. We especially have ministries among the unreached people groups in Vietnam, in Cambodia, in Thailand, in the Philippines, and elsewhere in East Asia. And all of that is happening not because of one person, not even because of OMF or China Inland Mission as an agency, but because of the Lord, His love, and His faithfulness through the last 150 years. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before You. I want to give You praise and thanks for who You are, for the mighty things that You've done in history, for turning around even the most atrocious moments in history into a blessing for Your people. And Father Lord, I pray that You will challenge us like You challenged Isaiah and Hudson Taylor before us. And I pray that You give us the hearts to respond to You, Lord. Sometimes I wonder what would have happened had these people say no to You. Would history have been different? Or would Your will still have gone forward? And yet, these people would be missing all the great things that You have done in and through their lives. Help us to respond to You likewise, Lord. Remind us that we only live life once. And we have no time, no resources left to go after things of the world. Help us to focus on You and You alone. and to go to the deepest and darkest corners of the world. Not because of our love for these people. Not only because of that, but because of our love for you. Because of what Christ has done for us, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray.